everyone. Welcome back to the Daily Collective podcast. I'm your host, Elora, and today I am bringing you a new type of interview. The other week, I went and interviewed today's guest in person in her studio space, and it was fun, and I really think I'm going to try and do that a bit more in the future. So I went and interviewed Sue French, a Lincolnshire-based artist, in her lovely studio on the lovely farm, and we had a wonderful chat, and then we enjoyed going for a walk around the farm where she gets so much of her inspiration for her work. And it was so wonderful to actually be able to not only meet, you know, the person I'm interviewing in person, but also see how they work and where they get their inspiration from. So I'm definitely going to try and do a few more in-person interviews when and if I can. So without further ado, here is my interview with Sue. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Today I am talking with Sue, who is also my very first in-person podcast interview. So this is kind of exciting. So I'm going to pass it on to Sue to introduce herself and share with you a little bit about her work.
Well, firstly, I feel a bit honoured that you're coming to my house and that we're having this chat in person, and it feels really lovely. So I'm Sue France. I'm a botanical artist. So primarily I'm a printmaker these days. I use botanical elements in lots of my work. I live in rural Lincolnshire, not far from yourself, as we discovered.
Yep.
And basically, the seasons and the connectedness to the land are what inspires me. So I make prints using a gunning etching press, and my inspiration is basically what you can see out of the window now. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who are listening,
yeah, I can see.
It's an arable farm. Mm-hmm. I'm completely in touch with the seasons because we live within a landscape where it's changing due to farming processes, but we live next to woodland as well. So we walk in the woods. I sustainably forage. I've also rewilded the field and the paddock in front of the house. So carrot flowers grow, and we're really interested in kind of like enabling wildlife to have a home here as well. We live on a flight path for aircraft.
So I was just having a laugh. We were just saying about the Red Arrows practicing, weren't we?
And just, we might have just arranged for, I can't see them because it's a little overcast, no, but you might hear some aircraft going over.
It's a bonus for those who can't hear the flight.
It's actually an old airfield. So during the war, Lancaster bombers used to take off from here.
Oh, cool.
So the road that you come up, the kind of farm track road, is the old airfield.
I thought it looked more runway-ish than paved.
And this barn, so we're in a barn as well. It's a Victorian barn, but it was used during the war as well. So
Well, lots of history.
Yeah.
I can see how it is the perfect place to be inspired.
Yeah.
Why don't you share with us a little bit about a project that you are working on or that you're particularly in love with that you'd like to share with us?
So I am currently working on a project involving kintsugi, so the Japanese poetic mend. I was trying to think about where this started, and it's kind of hard to pin it down because I've loved pots and ceramics. My mum took us to pot fests growing up. So we used to go to ceramic fairs. Mm. And my mum always was drawn, partly through having four children and not financial kind of money to buy the pristine ones, but she was always drawn to the broken, not broken, but the
imperfect.
The sort of imperfect ones. So ceramicists sometimes sell off their pieces that are slightly wonky or seconds. Mm-hmm. And so I was brought up feeling that they were unique and different and to be cherished because they'd got a blemish or was slightly wonky or... And I remember my mum buying, my mum and dad, we went to Potfest up in the northeast, and she bought this little pot. But the story behind it is she said, oh, what would you like? And I said, oh, well, the one pot I would have liked, I'd like to go back to it. It was a raku-fired bowl, and it was in the seconds bit, so I think it was £7 or something really reasonable. Wow. And I really loved it. And we went back and it had been sold. And, you know, it was just one of those things. Somebody else had bought it. But when we went back to her car, they'd quietly bought it because they know I really liked it. So that whole imperfection thing really stuck with me. So so I'm currently making prints of footed bowls. So they're pots. And there's one in front of us here. Mm-hmm. And I've actually bought my print plates as well to show you, which I'll talk about. For people who need to see,
we'll take pictures.
So my current project is to do with kintsugi and the poetic repair. So I love the way it kind of celebrates not just the broken and the things that need repair, but it's got that kind of whole thing about celebrating the mend rather than just hiding it. And it really speaks to me of imperfection and... I like the simplicity of the form as well. I've repeatedly made the same shape over and over. Mm-hmm. I love the idea that printmaking is really explorative and experimental. And these are something called collographs.
Okay.
So a collograph is collar and graph. So it's kind of mark making and sticking. And in simplistic terms, you make a plate. And by a plate, I mean the form that you then print from. So printmakers make plates out of metal, or I'm actually using mount board. So I got a grant about 18 months ago from the Arts Council to develop my creative practice.
Oh, that's great. So, that's hard to get.
It was. You sort of write your life in
stream. Oh my God, I've applied for one. I didn't get
have
one.
You?
Yeah, I have for my Kintsugi Mama project, but apparently I didn't fill up out enough of my life history and they suggested I reapply because I needed to do it again. I'm like, oh, that's so much work. It took me weeks.
It really is reapplying and just listening to their feedback and kind of tweaking it.
Yeah.
Because that enabled me to spend the last 18 months kind of developing my creative practice. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of what I was looking at was sustainability in my art, making sure that I use non-toxic inks and that my practices had the least impact they could. So everything from the papers I use is all considered choices. So Forestry Stewardship Council, which, as you can tell, I have problems saying, FSC kind of boards that I use to print my... to press my flowers and but this is one of the things that came out of the project that's really stuck with me. So these bowls are made because I use mount board, like you'd get round a picture that you'd had done at the picture framers, and then different artists do different things, but I cut mine out into quite simplistic shapes and then I texture them using all sorts of methods. So for these that you see here, or that you're going to hear about in a minute, these are a simple bowl shape. And then I use like an aluminium foil. And within the form, I then trap botanicals that I have pressed. So they've got ferns and grasses and eucalyptus leaf and just things that I grow in my garden or that I found in the woods. But I do... collograph a little bit differently to some other people. So I do texture them with carborundum and different medium to give them a real textural quality. And I use a scalpel to rip bits off and stick things on. But collograph plates can actually last a few different prints. You can print repeatedly depending on what you've used. But with mine, what I do is I then put botanicals on top of the plate as well. So, for example, this one here has got a fern trapped within the aluminium.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of it, I've laid grasses as I've printed it.
Okay.
So when I print that, it takes on the impression of whatever I put on top.
So it's like the story gets etched into the plate as well.
Oh, you've given me goosebumps.
Oh, I love it.
That's exactly what I'm doing. That is exactly what I'm doing, and that's why I love it.
That is amazing. Oh, I want to try that.
It's the layers of the story. It's those layers of history that go into each plate. So when I next print this plate, it's kind of got the story of the previous prints mm-hmm. and the previous plants, and I love that multifaceted sort of history and depth, and I like the allegory of that as well, and mm-hmm. not just the kind of, you know, visual narrative, but the sort of the reverence for history and what's gone on before and nature, and it's linked to its connectivity and it's linked to kintsugi. So mm-hmm. currently, I am making lots of bowls at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I also am a multidisciplinary print maker.
Okay.
Which is a posh way of saying I do lots of different types.
Okay. I like that.
So I also use my photographs mm-hmm. in my printmaking, which I think was why I was so drawn to your podcast. And I know you've diversified because mm-hmm. you're now talking to lots of artists. But I've listened to lots of the podcasts you've done now where mm-hmm. you've talked to photographers. And one of the printmaking methods, solar plates, uses photography and printmaking together. So it just means that it gives me a sort of different facet to what I do, because I can record the landscape or place. Being rooted in place is really important, that whole idea of kind of like growing roots where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another printmaking method that I do. So solar plates, I make weathered barns is another thing that I'm currently involved with, sort of doing a process where I want to tell a narrative without being obvious.
Okay.
So I print barns, sort of Scottish kind of weathered looking barns with impressions of foliage or seaweed that I've collected from the place. They're imagined places.
Oh, okay.
And then
interesting.
And then I light them up with a gilded window.
Oh, cool. I haven't seen that
haven't
yet.
Haven't you?
No, I
should show you after this.
Oh, I'm going to go and look at the barns, and I will make sure that she gives me a picture of said barns,
yeah.
because I haven't seen them yet.
Yeah. Well, they're a series that I've called Within, and each one is called something with the title Within.
Mm-hmm.
So Sanctuary Within, or Tales Within, or Held Within. And the idea is that the viewer makes up their own narrative. I don't want to tell them what's going on in the barn or mm-hmm. why it's lit up or who's visiting or what's in there. I like the idea of a person kind of coming to it and making their own story up about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice. Let's the viewer kind of really go into it and explore it in their own way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I like that too. Ooh, I can't wait to see these. So we did quite talk a lot about your process and why you made all of your kintsugi bowls and all of that. If you were to give advice to somebody who was interested in exploring printmaking in general, but maybe calligraph in particular, what advice would you give them for starting out or exploring this part? Of
yeah.
the creative process.
I'd say a few things recently, really. I've become more interested in research around what I'm printing. So I now read books about kintsugi or the place that I'm visiting or the type of plant that I didn't know the name of previously. You know, grasses are quite a theme in my work, and
mm-hmm.
I'm quite good with names of wild flowers, but grasses are an area that I sort of look at it, find it beautiful, and don't know anything about it. So research is one. It kind of gives you a more depth a sort of greater connection to what you're printing. I'd say one of the best bits of advice I was given just about being an artist at all is to be playful.
Mm-hmm.
The person who gave me the advice knows that I can be quite sort of serious in terms of I take my work seriously, mm-hmm. and I become completely enveloped in it and really focused. And sometimes it's good not to overthink things and just be really playful. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an important thing as an artist to take yourself on an artist date.
Oh, I've talked about artist dates more than once, yeah. Definitely. And I did talk about just doing it, you know, and experimenting and allowing yourself to fail,
yeah.
and to try again and to, yeah. learn and just getting up and enjoying the process of making it.
Yeah.
Even if whatever it is that results from said process isn't quite what you envisioned the first time. So I really love that, because I think a lot of people who start something new, they get inspired by seeing all these established artists or creatives that are in that field already, which is wonderful to be inspired by them, but you feel the need to push yourself so much to achieve a similar,
yeah.
result, that I feel that sometimes we kind of lose the fun,
yeah.
of experimenting in the process of playing, and like, you know, like you're saying, be prepared, because we must achieve that goal,
yeah.
right? It's very goal oriented for a lot of beginners, because they're like, so and so is doing this amazing work, oh, to be as good as so and so, and so I really need to get it down and figure it out and do it, and then, you know, maybe you get there, but then you're like, what did I lose on the way, and the experiences, and do I really want to be exactly like so-and-so, but maybe I should be more myself. So I love that you've said that, to be playful.
The advice you've just given as well, I'd reiterate that, because my husband always says, comparison is the thief of joy.
Mm.
So it is about being authentic to you, making stuff. I had a conversation with a friend of mine about the kintsugi bowls I was making early on. And I make the print and then I stitch into the paper with linen.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a course at Leicester Printworks with Sumiko, who's a practitioner who looks at Japanese aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things she taught us was about sewing in silence. And I have embraced that to the point that I adore the stitching element on my paper now. So I use very fine, I either use linen or vintage cottons that I've bought, or very fine gold thread. And I stitch the paper in silence, and that sort of becomes a meditation. And I was making all of these bowls and stitching. And when I say making all of these bowls, I've made about 50 plates. Haven't printed them all. And nobody was buying them from the website. And I do fairs as well. I do Nottingham Contemporary. And I've recently just done Sheffield Print Fair. So I've done some big print fairs. And nobody was buying them. And I had a conversation. I just said, these aren't resonating with people. And she said, oh, they'll find their audience. They'll find their audience. I said, I can't not make them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say as an artist, sometimes you've got to please yourself
and
just make what's...
It's not always about money.
No. And I just had to keep making them. And they have found people that it resonates with. A lady bought an original one in Sheffield and she just picked it up. She didn't look at any of the others. I said, I've got others that I've done. She said, no, this just brings me calm.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think that's the best review, isn't
it? Absolutely, absolutely.
That you've managed to pass your feelings,
yeah.
on to that person, and
yeah.
they've seen that. I
yeah.
think that's amazing.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Thank you.
Good job.
Okay, so now comes the part that everyone hates, but I quite love it because I found a lot of inspiration through it. I always ask everyone if they have a favorite movie or book or a show or anything that has inspired them in their journeys at all.
Okay.
Yeah, have you researched that one?
I have. Well, I listen to podcasts while I print. I listen to The Moth. don't know if you know the
Moth. No, I don't.
So the Moth is a podcast I've listened to for quite a number of years now. It is storytelling, and it's basically they have a theme, mm-hmm. and three or four people stand up and tell a story about a real event, and it's all over the world. It's all different people. You are introduced to people you wouldn't normally meet in a regular day. Mm-hmm. And I love how I have had insights into people's worlds, and they're emotional or funny or just, I love the Moth. I recently watched The Nettle Dress. I don't know.
No, I don't know about that. So I'm completely learning a whole bunch of things now.
The Nettle Dress is a film, very emotional film, about a textile artist, Alan Brown, and he did a 7-year project where he hand wove a dress from nettle fibres that mm-hmm. he then painstakingly made into yarn. And then he'd woven it together, and it was to do with kind of loss and rebuilding. And it is the most beautiful, evocative story. So
it's a film.
It is a film. It's an independent film. It was shown locally. I think they did a screening, one screening locally, and it's still being shown, but it's mm-hmm. definitely worth seeing. Mm-hmm. But the book I want to shout out for mm-hmm. is a book called The Wild Remedy.
Okay.
By Emma Mitchell.
I've heard this book. I haven't read it, but I've heard of it.
It's called How Nature Mends Us, a Diary. So it's called The Wild Remedy. And I love it because it's to do with well-being. She writes the most exquisite descriptions. She actually suffers with, she called it the grey slug. So I think people sometimes say the black dog to refer to depression.
Yes.
And while I haven't suffered from depression, it's her remedy that completely resonates with me. Mm-hmm. So she talks about how being in nature has been her medicine, basically. And her descriptions are just poignant and beautiful. I love the way it starts in October, so she doesn't do the whole diary. If it starts in January, even the cycle, I loved her starting sort of in October. And she describes a murmuration. Mm. And just, you read a chapter and you want to go outside.
Yeah.
it's so, so beautifully written. And normally I give books away when I've read them. I sort of read them and pass them on, and I don't reread them. And while I have given it away, at the moment I've asked for this one back.
Uh-huh.
Because I know...
It's one that you want to keep and reread.
So I know that's a really special book for me because it's...
Mm-hmm. And is your quote by any chance from this book?
It's not, actually. Ah. Do you know what? When I knew I was going to have to give a quote, I thought, I don't really hold on to quotes because it feels like somebody else's words. And I really laboured over what to have as my quote. And I was thinking of all the words that mean things to me. So notice is really important, and mm-hmm. imperfection and details. And I hold really tightly to single words and phrases that are mm-hmm. meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. I do love the word schmooze that's from schmooze. Her book.
I like it.
Do you know it?
I know of schmooze.
Oh, maybe I'm mispronouncing it.
Yeah, it's like S-C-H-M-O-O-Z-E.
Oh, no, this is schmoozes. So I loved finding out this word. So it means it's like an entrance, an exit, a hole in a kind of hedgerow where a creature has repeatedly...
Okay, like where you've seen the little holes. Oh, okay. Yes, actually, now that you're saying it, when we went with my daughter, we go on wildlife watch, and we were foraging for mushrooms, and we went by a hedge, and there was this little hole in there that you could see. And she said that word, and I was like, what is that word? And it, of course, like, when you hear a word that you've never heard before, you either remember it forever or you forget it immediately.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me. But then you said it, and I'm like, now that you've said the whole, I'm like, oh, that's the word she said. So word of the day is schmooze. I love it.
I'd never heard of it before until I read her book. And then it's almost like it promotes you looking in a different way. It means like when you go for a walk now, you see these lovely...
You pay attention to them.
Yeah. So I thought of those. But then I opened up my notebook this morning and I found a quote from the Kintsugi book that's by... So it's called Kintsugi, The Poetic Mend, and it's by Bonnie Kemsk. And I'd written this down. It was from page 9. And it says, these divergent aspects of Kintsugi made me realise that it's Kintsugi's capacity to encompass both a down-to-earth practicality and a full-blown metamorphic torrent that gives this amazing technique its powerful appeal.
Ooh, I like it.
And it was that mix of, it's practical, it's not seeing things as disposable if they're broken or damaged. And then it's also a hugely powerful link to celebrating things that are mended in a more transformative way. So that really resonated for me.
Oh, there you go. See, you found one in the end.
Yeah.
But I still think I'm using smooth as the word for this. I'm sorry. And I always finish up my interviews by asking where people can find you. How can they follow you and see your work?
Okay. Well, I'm. This is terribly local, but I'm on the front cover and I've got an article in Lincolnshire Life magazine.
Yeah. Oh!
I'll show you it after.
Yes.
So I make jewellery as well. So my botanical cast jewellery is in Maid Gallery, which is in Uppingham, and the Hubbard Sleaford, the National Centre for Craft and Design. So the Hubbard Sleaford also have my jewellery, which is solid silver cast from nature. I've just this week got 2 new stockists in Leicestershire, so Whistler Rural Centre and the Velvet Interiors in Lutterworth. I'm in an exhibition at the moment in Shrewsbury called Up the Garden Path, and that was really lovely because I answered an open call. Are you familiar with that term?
Yes.
So an open call, for those of you who aren't familiar, was where people respond to a theme and then you put some art forward, and then if you get selected you might be in future exhibitions. So it's called Up the Garden Path, which for obvious reasons resonated with my botanical interests. Some of my prints are on Made by Hand Online, which is an online website that promotes the work of only handmade pieces. I've got my own website, which is SueFranceDesigns.com, but Sue is spelled S-U.
I will be linking it in the show notes anyway. I'll be linking all the stuff in the show notes, so you can just find it
and
there.
And then
your Instagram, I would guess.
Instagram, yeah, I'm on Instagram, and I do open studios once a year. And I'm also, my next fair, so I do print fairs, is Leicester Print Works, which is in December on the 2nd and 3rd of December. So.
Perfect for that Christmas gift. Shameless plug.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, thank you so much for being interviewed by me today. And I will be putting all your contact details and your recommendations and stuff in the show notes. And I hope that the listeners have found something interesting and inspiring from my chat with Sue.
Thank you so much.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Sue. The only drawback of that in-person interview was that we kept looking at things together and I could see and I could ooh and ah over them, but we kind of forgot that you couldn't. So I apologize for that. Also, never forget smooze. Anytime you go for a walk now, you will never, ever unsee that. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and I hope to see you again for the next one. Happy creating, everyone. Bye-bye.